The Lord is good. It's good to be in his house tonight. We're glad all of you are here. It's good to have Cindy's brother with us. We're glad you're here. Just so thankful for God's presence. If you'll just remain standing for a moment, I want to say thank you, sis, for teaching last week. You're such an anointed teacher, and you reflect Christ everywhere you go, and we just honor you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Proverbs 4 says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body." Let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight for healing, mind, body, and soul. I pray your words penetrate deep within us. Holy Spirit, bring revelation from the word that we hear tonight. Let it do its work. Your word is very clear that it will not return void and that it will do what it was intended to do. We ask you to redeem our time. Let there be healing in this house on every level, and we're going to give you the glory. Amen and amen. And I just want you to remain standing because I want you to read with me in just a moment. But I want to give you some food for thought just to prepare the soil of your soul. A.W. Tozier said, "Before there can be fullness, there must be emptiness. Before God can fill us with himself, we must first be emptied of ourselves." We know John 3:30 says, "He must increase, I must decrease." So I want you to read with me again, pray this prayer with me in the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew. We're going to delve back in tonight. I told you a couple of weeks ago that we were going to just keep moving forward in this, and I believe that God has something powerful for us. So pray with me the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen." You can be seated. I just want to refresh your mind from our previous teaching on the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a kingdom prayer. It is filled with life-giving, life-sustaining petition, intercession, and adoration. And I pray, I've been praying this, I've been speaking this over you, that this prayer becomes more than just something that you recite, but it becomes a pattern for kingdom, transformative, everyday living. It is a pattern. Sometimes we're not sure how to pray, what to pray. And encapsulated in this prayer is so much power and kingdom. This prayer begins and ends with adoration and declaration. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I want you to just pause for a moment and think about the greatness of God. The one that spoke the very world into existence. The one that rides on the wings of the wind. The one who sits enthroned in heaven and yet feels the earth as his footstool. That God lives in us as a child of God. His presence, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now what? Dwells where? In me, doing what? Giving life to our mortal bodies. Adoration. Psalms 104 calls us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and what? Praise his name. We know 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Praise is a mandate. But we also know from Revelation 4:11 that we were created to worship. It's in our DNA. It's not a question, are we going to worship? It's who are we going to worship? At whose altar? And the more that you make this a pattern in your life of adoration, even though it may begin as a sacrifice at times because you're bringing your flesh into subjection, the more that you honor God and adore him and recognize his greatness, pretty soon it's going to just exude out of you. It's going to be part of who you are and what you do. Can I get any witnesses in the house? Amen. Amen. His word gives us a beautiful launching passage, and we have looked at this, and I don't apologize. I want you to stand. We're going to read it together tonight. A beautiful launching passage for adoration. I want these things to get so in your spirit, and let's declare it tonight. 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction, who crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You can be seated. Isn't that awesome? Beautiful launching pad of adoration. Adoration and praise are like the plow in the hard soil of our soul. It prepares us to experience God's manifest presence, and it moves us to the place of consecration. Consecration. Your kingdom come, say it with me, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer positions us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. The kingdom of God isn't when we come to church. It isn't at a conference. It isn't certain days of the week. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God is in you. Jonathan Edwards said, the seeking of the kingdom of God is the chief business of the Christian life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The kingdom of God is anywhere God is king. The kingdom of God is heaven's culture lived out by people completely ruled by God. I'm repeating a couple things till I get to the crux of where we're going, because I wanted to get in your spirit. Bill Johnson said, most Christians repent enough to get forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom. Jesus said, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, but the violent, the blood-bought, the children of God take it by force. We don't just sit back and say, oh, the battle is hard, it's heavy, there's an attack coming after me. No, we get up. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You have already defeated the enemy. You made an open show of him. According to Matthew 16:19, as his church, he has given us the keys to the kingdom, which are power and authority. Whatever we bind in heaven, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. So when you read these two passages, my takeaway is operating in his kingdom presence and power is the will of God for every believer. Say, that's me. That's me. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're often praying for his return, or we're thinking about him invading the earth with some supernatural force. Both are biblical, but I want us to again look deeper this week before we move forward. When we're praying this, we're praying, Lord, release your kingdom in me. Let me walk in your will and be a riverbed for your river. Let the atmosphere shift around me because the kingdom is in me. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I will not be a fence post along the road. I will not be a statue when I come to church. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven through me. I will not be passive. I will not be silent. I will not be a spectator. I am part of the kingdom of God, and your kingdom dwells in me. Amen. This prayer is bracketed by the kingdom. Your kingdom come, for thine is the kingdom. Every part of this prayer is a declaration of the kingship of God over us. The kingdom is his, the power is his, the glory is his. So we move from consecration to supplication. Give us this day our daily bread. We can trust God for the provision of our lives. Petition is not where we usually struggle in praying. We're a needy people. We will ask God for things. We know he's the source. The psalmist said, I'm going to lift my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then the apostle Paul reminds us again of the source of all our provision. He says, but my God, ooh, I like that. My God, say that. My God. Doesn't that do something for you? You know why? Because his word is living and active. My God shall supply part of your need, part of the time. All of your need, according to his riches in glory. So we move from supplication to repentance and intercession. And this is where we're going to focus tonight. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Bill Johnson said, all increase in the kingdom comes through the faithful stewardship of what has already been given to us. One of the things that we steward is repentance. According to the Lord's Prayer, repentance and forgiveness are to be a part of our life. We all need forgiveness, every single one of us. Amen. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes. Every single one of us. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does not good and never sins. And on this one, I said, ouch. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. None of us are guiltless. We do things, we say things, we act and react in ways at times that are less than godly. We make decisions based on our emotions rather than God's wisdom. We get fleshly. We get prideful, we get offended, and we need forgiveness. This prayer has to become personal. Lord, forgive me of my debts. Forgive me of my debts. And isn't it the beauty of the Holy Spirit that he checks us the way he does? Sometimes he already knows we're going to get out of line, and he'll check us before we do. And sometimes we still go ahead. And we need forgiveness, all of us. And this is where our own inner healing and wholeness begins. Sin separates us from God. It brings shame and condemnation. It causes us to hide from the Lord and from others. Sin makes us vulnerable and susceptible to pride, anger, offense, and bondage. Jesus himself said, whoever sins becomes a slave or a servant to sin. It doesn't matter how long we serve the Lord or how many years we have spoken in tongues. If we don't guard our heart and we allow openings for the enemy to get in, we will become a servant to sin. Sin that is undealt with will cause our hearts to become hardened. It'll cause us to become cynical and carnal in our thinking and in our living. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, you know this, sit with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, all things that doesn't line up. This prayer of repentance keeps our heart in check. It helps us to stay open and honest before the Lord and ourselves. It helps us to stay sensitive to the working of Holy Spirit in our life. The psalmist gives us a beautiful example of repentance in Psalms 32 and 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Again in Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Gorham Abbott said, repentance is the tear of love dropping from the eye of faith when it fixes on Christ crucified. Bob Pierce said, let my heart become broken with the things that breaks God's heart. God's heart. Let me stay so sensitive that I know what grieves God. And then comes the more difficult part of this prayer. God, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You don't live very long until you experience hurt in life. You just don't live very long. We live in a fallen, hurtful world. Our rejection and hurt and rejection create wounds. A wound is an inflicted injury or harm upon a person's body or emotions. Those wounds, those inner wounds that I'm talking about tonight, they have the power to hinder us from our full potential. To hinder the full flow of kingdom power working within us. Wounds will distort the truth. God's truth. God's truth about us. God's truth about others. Wounds keep us from intimacy with God and healthy relationships with others. Some wounds have come from hurtful words. Words are like seeds and they can bring life or death. And they go down into the soil of the soul and they can create heart sores, negative words spoken over us that skew our perceptions and then affect our faith life and our behaviors and the way that we do things and the way that we see ourselves. Some wounds run very deep. And oftentimes, we try to suppress them or even deny that they exist. Oh, I don't feel that way. Oh, that didn't bother me. And we push it down and push it down and push it down. But the problem is it does affect you because you're not walking in the call of God for your life. You're not walking in healness in your marriage. There's a struggle with you and family members, and it's Not always on the family members. Sometimes it's on us. So wounds affect us. They hurt us. They go deep. And we try to suppress them, but we want to get in the presence of God and we want to say, Lord, I want to be like you. And then he'll be like, let me heal that. And then we're like, no, not that, Lord, not that, Lord. I'll serve you from back here. Wounds of incest and rape are brutally painful. And many, 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 many are affected by that. Wounds of rejection, especially by a parent or a spouse, leave gaping holes in our soul. The betrayal of a friend cuts to the core of your being and shatters trust. You know, there's wounds from church hurt too. And it's especially painful because church is supposed to be a safe place. Psalms 55, 12 through 14 says, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. I want you to look around. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I want you to do it anyway. I'm going to ask you to look around at your brothers and your sisters. Just look around at the people that are in here. And the reason that I want you to do that is as much as we try, we're fleshly at times. All of us. And we all need grace and mercy. This is an imperfect church, because we're imperfect people. And there's not a perfect church. There certainly wouldn't be if I walked in it, because I'm not perfect. And we let people down. Yet God loves the church and he calls the church to a spirit of unity and to bear with one another in love and to keep moving forward and to forgive one another. The painful truth is, we have probably all hurt others just as we have been hurt. Most of the time, it's not even intentional. Sometimes it is. But sometimes we do it and don't even know or don't even realize that we had done it until later down the road when someone tells us. But it still hurts. Either way, wounds are weights and they impede our spiritual progress. Hebrews 12 tells us that we are to lay, that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside or throw off every weight, everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God is the ultimate expression of wholeness. And when we fix our eyes on him, healing will flow. Healing will flow. Jesus makes it painfully clear that receiving forgiveness is directly tied to granting it. That's heavy. That's hard. But it's his way. It's kind of like the law of sowing and reaping. He knows that we aren't made to carry that kind of hurt. We're not made to live in freedom and in peace with all that bitterness building up in our soul. In the New International Version, it gives us a broader view of this prayer, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The word trespass means to violate a boundary or a law, to go beyond one's own right. Many of you, probably all of us, have been trespassed against, hurt in ways that we should not have been, yet we're called to forgive. I don't know how many of you watched The Forge, but the mentor, one of the main characters in it, the mentor, his son was killed by a drunk driver, his only son. And later on in the movie, you see a particular man that's there that is constantly part of this group that he has mentored, that he has raised up, that is now mentoring others. And it's far into the movie before you realize that that drunk driver that killed his son is one that he mentored, that is now healed and whole and mentoring others. Only God. Only God can help you do that. Only God. Mark Rutland said, Jesus frames the question of forgiveness in terms of a debt. To forgive a debt means to mark it off, to cancel it, and release the debtor. When we forgive, we give up hope of repayment, financial or emotional. In other words, part of forgiveness is declining to sulk and emotionally punish those I have forgiven. Let forgiveness flow out through us to others. Unforgiveness is so destructive, so toxic, that it will poison our inner selves utterly. No enduring inner health is possible where unforgiveness is harbored. He goes on to say, forgiveness can be painful. Forgiving another is seldom an event. It is a process, the long, hideous wrestling match of the soul. And this is what I love about Holy Spirit. He knows our frame. And there are times when he will let us bury those hurts, and we can walk in anointing and we can walk in his power. But then there comes a point when he's wanting to do more in our lives, reveal more in our lives, and he knows that we're in a place that he can now put his finger on that, and he'll begin to reveal things that may have laid there for a long time, or maybe that we've justified, or maybe that we couldn't have handled before. And in his mercy and grace, he knew our heart was after him. And then there comes that point where he's like, we need to deal with this now. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Warren Wiersbe says, the world's worst prison is the prison of unforgiving heart. If we refuse to forgive others, then we are only imprisoning ourselves and causing our own torment. When Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18 and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. This is a little heavy for a Wednesday night, but I feel like God is doing something prolific in our Wednesday night group, and I believe that he is using this body to heal and to grow because of what he's about to do and the increase he's about to bring. I really believe that. I really believe a harvest is coming, and we're going to have to be able to disciple, and there's no way that just one or two people can disciple a room full of people. We have to get healed so we can walk in kingdom power and let God move in us. One of the most prolific truths that Mark Rutland taught in the Lord's Prayer is this: Our inner healing is tied to forgiveness. Wholeness is possible in our lives only to the extent that we experience his forgiving love both as recipient and grantor. And Jesus is very serious about this because he tells us in Mark 11, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Go make it right is what he's saying. He tells us in Ephesians to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us. The Lord will never force us to forgive, never. He never forces us to do anything. He gave us a free will. As much as he wants to bestow all of his gifts on us, and they are freely given to us, he will not make us accept them. He will never make you speak in tongues. It's a powerful gift. He said, this will help you with your prayer life. It'll help you build your most holy faith. When you don't know how to pray, here's a gift, you can have it, but he won't make you. More than anything, he wants us to walk in freedom and in truth and walk in power, but he will never make us forgive, but he calls us to it for our benefit. Kayla Dobbins says, if you don't heal your emotional wounds, you will bleed on people who had nothing to do with them. Our soul can be so vexed by hurt. It's quiet tonight, but I know I'm speaking truth because I've had to walk through a lot of this myself. I've had to walk through forgiveness. I've needed to be forgiven. And I just stop right here now because sometimes I have found that I have hurt people and haven't even known that I have done it. And if I have, I ask you to forgive me. But our soul can become so vexed by hurt that no prescription medicine, no vice can heal it. It only masks the pain. Only God can probe the depths of our being and do the emotional surgery that is needed to release the toxins that hurt brings and apply the oil and the wine. Psalm 34 tells us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. If we're going to heal, we're going to have to get in God's presence. It's going to take courage too. And it's going to take our will lining up with God's will. We cannot forgive in our own strength. We cannot. Our flesh, it is so contrary. Our flesh is so contrary to the ways of God. We're going to have to get in God's presence. Forgiveness isn't natural. It's supernatural. It takes the power and the anointing and the presence of God. Mountains melt like wax in the presence of God. Mountains melt like wax. I've been there. I've been there when there have been hurts and things that were, I wanted revenge. I wanted other people to suffer the way that I had suffered or my kids had suffered in my own self. But then when I got in the presence of God and I know that his will was for healing, mountains would melt like wax in my life. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have to get in his presence. We have to be honest with ourselves and with God for that healing to come. It's in him that we live, we move, we have our being. There comes a time when this inner healing of the soul goes beyond the salvation experience. Our salvation is paramount, it's primary, it's foundational. But once that foundation is laid, we can't just sit there idle and think we're gonna grow. We have to go deeper and allow the Holy Spirit to go deeper in us and remove some things out of us. Erwin McManus says, wholeness is the transformation that takes place through the miracle of God and the stewardship of man. Godliness is a result of both divine activity and human action. So transformation is both a miracle and a responsibility. I'm about ready to close. I'm going to give you a couple more things. Forgiveness is an act of our will. We are called to forgive. It is our will aligning with His will. It is calling on us, that person that keeps coming to your face that hurt you, that we get before the Lord, not because we feel like it, but because we want to be obedient to what God is saying, and we want healed. We want out of this prison of torment and turmoil, and we want healed. And so we come into God's presence broken, and we don't want to keep staying broken because bitterness perpetuates brokenness. And we say, Lord, as an act of my will, according to your word, I forgive. And we name them. Sometimes it doesn't feel like anything happens in that moment. And that's why every day, sometimes several times a day, Lord, as an act of my will, according to your word, I forgive so-and-so. Help me to see them the way that you see them. And there will come a time, I promise you this. I'm not going to say how long it'll take. Sometimes it's quicker than others. But there will come a time when you'll feel those toxins and poison begin to roll out of your soul, and you'll begin to feel lighter and better and healthier, and you're decreasing and God is increasing, and pretty soon you begin to see them the way that God sees them, and you begin to pray for them. I don't know about you, but I need grace sometimes. And I've had a lot of walls in the past. I've had things, and I have prayed, God, help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to have enough courage to give them the grace that I would possibly need if I didn't know you. Pastor Joe Dobbins said recently that, I heard recently that God loves the people we hate. Prayer may not change them, but it will change you and it will heal you. He went on to say the Holy Spirit will highlight old hurts before he launches you into a new season. The Holy Spirit will press us because he wants to take us to new places that old hurt can't go. Forgiveness is an intentional act of obedience. So as we close tonight, I want us to prepare ourselves for healing. I don't have any expectations that everything that needs to be done is going to happen in the service, but I do believe with all of my heart that God is peeling back the layers and he's pouring in the oil and the wine. I do believe that some of you are at a point where you are like, I can't stay here anymore. I can't carry this anymore. And the beauty of it is not only is God going to heal you, but you are going to be a conduit to lead other people into healing in the days ahead, because we are living in a broken, broken world. And there are many people that need grace. Obedience is freedom. When we obey, his blessings flow. I have never met an exception of this in my life. that blessing didn't follow obedience. It's just his word, sowing, reaping. Submission is freedom. When we submit, his power is released. What I couldn't do, he's now doing in me. The Spirit of the living God that raised Christ from the dead, now living in me, I'm submitting. He's giving life to my mortal body. He's given me unction and grace and mercy where it was not before. Humility is freedom. When we are humble, he is exalted and we become the conduit for healing to flow. Character is freedom. When we live according to his word, his favor follows us. Selflessness is freedom. When life is no longer about me, the perpetual grace of God overflows. True love is freedom. When we love others through Christ, relationships flourish. Forgiveness is freedom. It releases us from the prison of hurt and bitterness. Righteousness is freedom. Right living brings significant increase. Now, I want you to stand with me, if you will. I believe one of the most healing chapters in the Bible to me is Psalm 23. I want you to say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can rest in his presence. His presence will revive you. His presence will restore you. His presence will heal you. In James, it says, therefore, confess your faults or your sins one to another, faults, struggles, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. There are times when you need someone to come alongside you and help you in this process. To confess your faults one to another doesn't mean that I need to get up in front of the church and tell everybody everything. But there are times when the struggle is so deep and it's so real and it's so intense that you are being tormented by it. You can't seem to get a handle on it. And just going to a person that is a committed child of God that knows how to pray and saying to them, I am struggling with this. And you put it out there with that person, and they begin to pray with you. Just getting it out breaks the back of the enemy and his torment of saying, you're never going to make it. You're never good enough. It was your fault. You'll never heal. You'll always be bitter. You'll always be alone. And when you get that out right then and there, it begins to negate some of his power over you, because now you are agreeing with someone with the word in prayer.